You recognize the trainer in the background? You recognize him? Do you know where he's at? He's at Arlington Cemetery. This is very telling, and I'm going to explain how this man is going to cause the death of your potential young adult son and daughter. We're going to talk about what's coming. You people think you're out of the military? Oh, think again. This is breaking news, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this story right now. Tomorrow, I'm going to come back with definitive documents that are being sent to me. People do not know this is happening. I've asked around all day long, but I have confirmation, and I've been told I'm going to be sent more written government documentation about what's coming, and what's coming is not good. We're brought to you by what we call DaveLovesTrading.com. My friend Bob Kudlit, Trade Genius, developed an algorithm. And this algorithm wins 2 out of 3 trades, 65% of the time he wins. The rate of return is anywhere between 80 to 110%. Now, if it's annualized, because usually the trades are quick, but when you annualize it out over 52 weeks, that's what it is. He wins constantly. He has a training program, very easy to get into. It's not that expensive. You'll make your money back on your first trade, and it works. And people have written to me, Dave, thanks. I got a second job now, better than working at Walmart, and it's reliable. I'm doing well. And this is what you get. I want you to find out more by going to DaveLovesTrading.com, DaveLovesTrading.com. And if you act soon, you'll be able to save money on the entry to get in, get the training, the free chat rooms. And really, all you have to do is follow the protocols, and you're going to make money. All right. Now, Alarak. We are looking right now, and like I said, this is going to be a brief report, but we're looking at the prelude to a draft. And before they draft, they're going to call back recently discharged people who are medically fit. And we have the documents en route to us to show you. We'll play this tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to hear this and hear this clearly. Servicemen are going to be called up. Now, I knew someone who was in special forces. He got told 6 months ago, come back now. You can choose your duty post. You wait, we'll send you where we want because it's coming. You're going to get recalled. And he's been separated for 6 years. Ladies and gentlemen, they're going to be recalling people. We'll show you the proof tomorrow, but this is a prelude to the draft. And this is the man who's determined to send troops into Ukraine, start World War III, endanger you, me, our young adult children. This man is an enemy of humanity. He's a traitor to this country. That's been proven time and time again. But now he's an enemy of humanity. Warmonger. You want to talk about the warmongers of Nazi Germany and Japan? They got executed, Nuremberg trials. This man needs a Nuremberg trial. If he does what they say is going to happen, and he's letting it happen on his watch, don't give me this diminished capacity bullshit. If he's going to sit in the Oval Office, and I don't care what stooge is telling him what to do, if he's going to follow through and say, I'm not doing this, okay, then he deserves the fate that comes with a war criminal. And this man is right on the edge right now of being a war criminal. And I'm telling you, I hope the world holds him accountable if he follows through with what I feel is coming, because we're going to have the recall and then we're going to have the draft. And my fear is we'll have the executive order from Obama 13603, 2011, that's still on the books. We'll get a civilian draft too for slave labor. Sections 501, 601, you can look it up. Executive order 13603, military draft, selective service, civilian draft, Department of Labor. And they say we will employ people of outstanding characteristics, quote, without compensation. Joe Biden's America. This ain't my America. See your America. Isn't it time we did something? That's it for the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.
Hi, Dave. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, Sarah, glad to be with you. Glad we're dual broadcasting this because we need to get this information out. As you know, in the last 24 hours, I've had three major contacts from major people slash networks that want what we're going to talk about. So this is now the hot topic, and I'm getting some electronic interference, as you know, kind of minor at this point, but I can't imagine the powers that be are going to be very happy with me, what we're going to put out here. You're really getting the exclusive. because I have teased this topic of censorship and where it's going, who's responsible, and how it could eventually lead to genocide. And that's not an exaggeration, people. I've teased it on my outlets individually, but I haven't done a comprehensive presentation, so you get the first.
Well, good. And I want to talk about, before the 2020 election, there was a major takedown, right? All of us got taken down. You by somehow got taken down later off of YouTube, but they didn't spare you in the long run. But there was a mass purge, and I have the article which I wrote, which is Unpersoned in America. I mean, I was taken off every platform possible, and my website was taken down, right? And so they're going to do the same thing. They have to silence our voices, right? And that's what they're trying to do. I think that's we've kind of went through a mini little psyop with that, and with trying to discredit all of us. But now they're going to try to take us all down again. And you have information on that. It's scary, actually, because you're right. In history, with my research, when they're trying to do a tyrannical dictatorship, the first thing they do is take down independent media, period, and replace it with only the state-controlled media.
I don't know if you saw this yesterday or not, and this is highly relevant. Jim Jordan was questioning Catherine Heritage, and she was with CBS but had been with the two other major networks prior to that. And she was fired for writing things critical of the Biden administration. And when they fired her, they locked her out of her office. They seized all her personal files, which is illegal, and then they seized her confidential sources and probably more than likely leaked them to the intelligence agencies, which is also illegal. And it was designed to deliberately kill investigative journalism. This was congressional hearing yesterday, people. This isn't made up stuff. I personally watched Jim Jordan question this woman and her colleague for about 6 minutes. And that appeared, I believe it was on YouTube, is where I saw it. They're coming after us every way possible to take down our institutions. But as you know, the internet, as I told you yesterday, is going to be going down over sometime in the next year. It could happen as early as this summer. That might be a little premature, but they are going to take down the internet, which is why we could talk about this before we go. I'm part of a group that's replacing this with a non-internet internet, is what I'm calling it. I have to be a little vague at this point. By the way, last night, Sarah, I talked to one of the creators of this non-internet internet, and I asked him where he thought this was going to end with regard to the censorship purge and all they're doing. He goes, genocide against dissidents.
Well, that's how it almost always leads to when
Yeah,
it's
that's true.
this extreme.
Let me give you a little history. What's happening in America right now, and you started to allude to this in the beginning. Was in 2016 when Brexit was pushed by a groundswell of citizens using the internet. And then, of course, Donald Trump and his enthusiastic internet supporters defeated Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, and they didn't plan to cheat as much as they needed to overcome Hillary's lack of votes. And so those two events led to a Cold War program conducted by the Pentagon and the CIA, designed to propagandize certain groups and then basically control elections. And that program was devised by a guy named George Kennan of the CIA. And the first election he stole and admitted to it publicly was the Italian election of 1948. Remember, the CIA was created in 1947, and he got caught. And the mainstream media with investigative journalists actually published how we interfered in the Italian election. And he wrote a paper and said, well, that's true, but we can't let communists take over, which is the 24/7 excuse. And he wrote that article, was called The Inauguration of Organized Political Warfare. And they've taken this program now as of 2016 and turned it against the American people. But they do, though. You've got FBI, CIA, DHS, headed by the Pentagon, because this is a military operation. So you could argue we're living under a military dictatorship now. And this Pentagon program, they farm out the operations to groups like the Atlantic Council, which is made up of seven ex-CIA directors. Oh, they're going to be pissed off that I said that. because no one's supposed to know that, but I have my sources. And then, of course, the Aspen Institute, Stanford University, they're all disseminators of this. And their entire mission was to entrap the mainstream, excuse me, the alternative media in violation of Section 230, which says that if you don't censor, you're not responsible for what content goes on your platform. So if pedophilia ends on your platform and you haven't censored anybody, you don't have to worry. But if you censor one time, you're now subject to the provisions of Section 230. And this is what they ended up doing. In 2016, they invoked a fine from the FCC of $54 million for each violation of Section 230. This is why we've learned in congressional testimony, mostly through Jim Jordan's work, that the federal government contacts a social media and say, like 2 weeks ago with regard to YouTube, we want the identities of all people that visited these particular videos. So they're constructing an enemies list here, and they made these people comply. They also tell them you will take down posts about that are anti-vax, that are anti defense policy with Ukraine, and right down the line. And this $54 million fine is the coup de grace on how they get capitulation in the social media. And
Well, they're
so,
using Section 230 to blackmail the social media companies, is essentially what that is. It's a blackmail technique that the government's using to do censorship. And we are all suffering from it. The whole world is up, our whole country is upside down. While they're take kicking people like us off, they're promoting journalists that I happen to know are hardcore communists, and they don't care. It's incredible. You know, growing, they have hundreds of thousands of subscribers now. They had hardly any within the last few years. Now they're being heavily promoted. We're watching this inverted reality of our country on purpose.
I would agree. There's a real central principle, and I've mentioned this 3 times in 2 days. Someone told me, "You're repeating yourself." This is something I'm intentionally going to repeat because people aren't going to believe it the first time they hear it. What we're getting now is not congressional law subverting our liberties. We're getting administrative fiat. And I'll give you an example. During the lockdowns, the CDC invented a policy, totally illegal. It's the purview of Congress, not the CDC, that landlords could not kick renters out during the lockdowns. And you can argue this pro or con, either way, it doesn't matter. The CDC did not have the authority to do it, but our compromised Supreme Court, in which 7 of the 9 justices, I believe, are compromised, they allowed this to stay as policy until the very end of the lockdowns. And then they said, "Oh, yeah, that is illegal. Stop doing it." But the damage was done. And this is an example of administrative fiat. And let me get right to the heart of something that I talk about this every day. And I'm going to keep talking about it till people are blue in the face and tired of hearing it. DHS came out with anti-free speech protocols about 2 months ago. And that was the first time I reported on this. They came out with mis and disinformation. Disinformation is deliberately changing facts according to them without any proof. They just say it's true. Misinformation is you accidentally report something, but it's wrong according to them. But the big one is this: malinformation. Malinformation is the reporting of something that undermines trust and faith in a democratic institution that we call the government, or a government agency, or an NGO connected to the government. And even the mainstream media is now referred to as a democratic institution. So when you hear people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer say, "This threatens our democracy," and we're scratching our heads and say, "Well, first of all, we don't have a democracy. We have a republic," but that's not how they're using the term. We have democratically protected civil liberties, or we had. They've moved away from this, from the administrative fiat of these agencies, to where you're no longer protected. They've changed the definition of democracy as protection of individual liberties to protecting the, shall we say,
Institutions.
the public opinion of democratic institutions. And so
Which is
therefore,
absolutely Go ahead. I was going to say
Yeah,
that destroys the
let me lay this
democratic
out.
institution.
Yeah, let me lay
Go
this out,
ahead.
then we can discuss it. Because there's a two-step process here that Americans need to be concerned about. The laying out of democratic institutions cannot be done now by journalists. Hence, you can take a reporter from CBS named Herridge, and you can steal her confidential sources. You can steal her private work, but it's all in the name of preservation of a democratic institution called the mainstream media. But you, as a citizen, get no protection, like there's shield laws in the First Amendment that protect reporters from this kind of abuse. That no longer applies, and that was on display yesterday in congressional hearing. So here's what this means. This is the two-step process. It is now illegal for me to say anything about Alejandro Mayorkas. And now they're not enforcing this totally yet, Sarah. They're laying the infrastructure to do this. But if I say Mayorkas is complicit in fentanyl trafficking, child labor, child pedophilia by what's crossing the border, and he's doing so either by negligence or complicit participation, I can't say that because I'm undermining the legitimacy of his office, which is now democratically protected, where my civil liberties are not. But let me go one step further. If we go back into the Obama administration in 2011, and when they passed the NDAA, if you have a designation as being an enemy combatant, anyone from the government or a government designee can pick you up, snatch you off the street, they can kill you. There's no violation. They can hold you indefinitely without trial. You get no lawyer. They don't have to give you a trial. They can just dispose of you any way they want. And this is what Americans need to know. This is where this is headed. Because under the DHS speech protocols, if you engage in malinformation, you are a domestic terrorist. And that's in the DHS language. They call you a domestic terrorist. It's a short step from being declared a domestic terrorist to being an enemy combatant under the NDAA, which went through Congress and signed by Obama in 2011. This is
Well,
scary stuff. This is the beginning of a police state that has permission to kill dissident citizens.
it's obviously against the First Amendment, but they are going, this is how they're going around it. I just got kicked off LinkedIn this past week, and they took
Wait,
down
what? You
a
got kicked
post.
off LinkedIn? You're kidding. They're
No,
wow.
I got kicked off LinkedIn, and I'll post my articles or my shows or whatever, but I don't really do much more than that. And I have about 15,000 followers or something because I used to be really active in it before I got involved in this stuff, and I built up a decent following. And so I'm like, I might as well post my stuff there. I don't get, I might get 300 people who view it. I thought, well, whatever, I post it, and but they kicked me off. And the first one the post they gave me a warning for was the new FDA ruling saying that informed consent was taken away for low-risk risk treatments. And I'm like, this is absolutely true. And I sent them the evidence of it and the actual legend, the FDA from the FDA site with, and I put the paragraph of the summary saying how this is exactly the wording on the FDA site. So they reinstated that post and then gave me a whole bunch of warnings and took me down for all these like 15 other posts. And you know what they accused me of? Selling illegal or unregulated products. And I'm like, I'm like, here, this is the first time I've ever been accused of doing anything illegal ever. And what specifically am I doing illegal? Because first, I just advertise like you. I mean, there's more of a chance that LinkedIn is advertising in a legal product than I am because they're doing thousands of advertisements for people. And I'm like, well, what specifically am I doing? Because over the last decade, I have never been accused of this once from anybody, anywhere. I'm on the radio. I was on the radio in New York and then in LA, and I'm on 50 plus platforms. I'm all over the place. And I've never been accused of doing anything illegal. What specifically are you talking about? And of course, they won't respond to me now.
Yeah.
So, hey, so if there's a lawyer out there, I think I have a decent case on this. But my point is, I mean, I don't know if I want to sue him or not, but
No,
to set a
you won't get a
precedent,
judge. You won't
this
get a
is
judge that'll be friendly to you.
that the justice system is so broken, but they don't even bother to respond to me to tell me what they're referring to.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this is like a precursor of this whole takedown.
My takedown from YouTube. Let me give you a little detail. We have gone through, and I'm represented by a company that's negotiating with YouTube to justify why they did what they did. And because I'm connected to this company, YouTube has to deal with them. Well, they put them off now for almost 5 months. So we've gone back through and we did a data analysis. And what we've determined is this. I was taken down at 2 a.m., so we know it was artificial intelligence, not people. Okay. YouTube's not open at that time in terms of human
Employees.
monitoring and censorship. So we know it was AI. That's the first thing we determined. The second thing we determined was what was my dominant theme of publishing during that period? Well, this was during the anniversary, the 60th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination. And so I ended up covering a lot of things, the Dorothy Kilgallen murder, Oswald's mysterious background, and all these other things that are well documented. But that's not what did it. What we think did it was the CIA is under orders, a court order, to release all documents on the Kennedy assassination. And that order was to take effect January 1st, 2016. And they still have not complied with that order. I mentioned that in virtually every broadcast I did. We need the CIA to come clean. What are you hiding? You know, everyone that was in the agency at that time is now dead. So what are you hiding? And they're hiding what they're doing to us now is what they're hiding, seriously. And I think there's some probably some plots out there to kill Trump that they may have some links into Kennedy assassination strategies. That's my operating hypothesis. But here's what we do know, that the CIA is highly defensive about this, and we know the CIA regulates a lot of the algorithms that take people down. They can override YouTube, they can override Instagram, and they can take people down on their own volition. And we think that the reason that YouTube is not giving credence to the company, they have to negotiate with. They have to have a sit-down meeting with them. See, I didn't have any strikes, and I was completely monetized on YouTube. Their policy should have been strike one if I said
That's
anything
right.
they didn't like about the CIA. Well, they didn't follow their own policy. So now, to avoid admitting they didn't follow their own policy and to admit they don't have control over their algorithm, the CIA can override it. It's our belief that's what happened to me on YouTube.
Well, when we were taken down off YouTube, I had no strikes. I was taken down. They changed their contract that they had because they violated their own contract. They changed their contract the moment they took us down. And so our lawsuit was like, well, you didn't even follow your own contract. I mean, we had so many in a justice system that's legit. We should have won. I mean, you can't change your contract the moment you take everybody down. So we didn't have any strikes either. But I don't even know why anybody listens to even goes on YouTube anymore because it's so controlled and it's so obvious to those of us who have been. I mean, I have two strikes sitting there. My third channel, I have two strikes. I only post when I have one strike, and I'm very careful to post maybe like a third of my content, maybe that. And so I don't even know why anybody even goes to YouTube. It's just there to try to help people maybe find me. But it's absolutely, and like my example of how they're promoting a communist, people who I know personally think that the middle class and the merchant class, the bourgeoisie is what they call them, and the intellectual class should be murdered. They should be eliminated. I was told that per point blank, and this person is speaking at the UN Council, has hundreds of thousands of subscribers now on YouTube. Like, what in the world is going on with our country? And that tells me exactly what you're saying. Now, I'm concerned because we know, like I said, it's a repeat of 2019 or right before the 2020 election. They need to do this. I'm concerned on a number of fronts. Let's go back to you talking about Trump being assassinated. I'm concerned about Kennedy being assassinated
Yeah, I agree. Both of them are in danger. Yeah.
because they're not even giving him Secret Service protection when he more than qualifies for it.
I agree.
Biden's polls, they have to keep looking for pollsters that are obscure because anybody that has any ounce of legitimacy is showing that Biden's poll numbers are absolutely atrocious. I mean, where are we sitting? He's like at a 12% approval rating, something as bad as it gets, and they're lying about it.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? I mean, are they going to implement, how far are they going to go this time? I mean, I don't understand. Does it have to take the whole internet
Let me
down, kill
address that.
opponents? I mean,
Let me
what's going to
address
go on?
I'll address
Yeah.
the poll numbers for you. Martin Armstrong, who's a well-respected economist for his projections, he says Biden's approval rating is 9%. I have two insiders very high up in the establishment, not on board with what's going on, and they say it's 12%. We're in the same ballpark. And the margin of error is probably 2 or 3 points anyway. So they're both saying the same thing. The cheating that will have to happen for Biden to win is off the charts. And they may figure we'll just invent a reason not to have an election. We'll do a false flag, declare martial law, disease X could be what it is. And let me give you one more overlay for where we started our discussion that fits into what you're saying here. Next month, the illegal, unconstitutional treaty between the United States government and the World Health Organization takes place. That treaty did not go through the required two-thirds approval by the Senate, but nonetheless, it's coming. And this gives the World Health Organization total control over the United States if a pandemic is declared, and they get to
Yes.
declare what a pandemic is. I remember the World Health Organization when the H1N1 came in, the original bird flu in 2008, they declared a worldwide pandemic based on six cases. I'm not joking when I say that. It was based on six cases. So they got big criticism for it. Now, the World Health Organization can censor. They can prevent certain medications from being used. They can mandate mandatory vaccinations. They can do anything they want. It's total tyranny, a total dictatorship enacted by a foreign power. Now, what? Let me go back. Let's say they were
You
to
have
have
to
an
be
election.
insane to approve to join this, but go ahead.
Let's say, for example, Sarah, that they have an election and they cheat, and they've got to cheat by 40 to 50% to win, which is off the charts. It used to be thought you couldn't cheat more than about 4%. Then they got it up to 20%. Now you're looking at more than double that for Biden to stay in office. So they'll have to cheat off the charts. Now you've got the bird flu sitting out there that's gone from birds to cattle to now we have our second human who's contracted this. And I think this is disease X. And it'll be the pandemic excuse to shut everything down. And I believe as people start to really challenge the election and say, no, we're not going to follow what this government says, this is where I think martial law will come in. Or even martial law could come in under this bird flu disease X nonsense and actually put us in martial law and they won't have to have an election. It could go either way. But my point is this, is that the will of the American people has been subverted. The changing of the definition of democracy has subverted our individual liberties. They are not in existence anymore, according to the people in power, and they think they can do anything they want to us and shut us up. And I'll tell you what I've learned in this process. And here's the Dave Hodges conclusion. What they censor is what they're going to do to the average person that they don't want us talking about, so we can't prepare.
Okay, so lay that out. Give an example. What do you mean by that?
All right, let's just say that let's take New York's beta test for mandatory incarceration for health reasons with no legal appeal. That's Rule 2.14 in New York under Kathy Hochul, an executive order. And basically, they can come and grab a New Yorker out of their home. They don't have to justify it medically. They can take you to an external facility. They don't have to contact family. It's like the NDAA on medical martial law steroids, and they can hold you indefinitely, and you can't launch a medical appeal. You can't launch a legal appeal. It's strictly the entire power of the state to incarcerate you based on their say-so under the blanket of medical martial law. This is what I'm talking about. And by the way DHS language is, I just committed malinformation and I'm a domestic terrorist and I could be snatched off the street under the NDAA designated as an enemy combatant slash domestic terrorist. That's what I'm talking about.
Where does this end? I mean, we have to keep stepping up. We have to, it's tiring. It's exhausting. I know both of us are exhausted with this fight. I am. I keep fighting it. It's not just censorship. It's on every front and it gets exhausting. That's my understanding is that's their goal too, is just exhaust the hell out of the people who are actually trying to fight this. They've created this mainstream alternative media that David Icke has, quoted, and ma'am. It's so true. I mean, there's certain people, journalists, that they're putting up there, and the rest of us are like nobodies, and they promote these people. What do you think about this? I think it's their method of doing their state media in a softer way and then trying to bring it back under control. They're making it seem like these are the people who left the, state-funded media because they didn't like it, and now they're the ones all being promoted everywhere. What are
I think
your
you're right.
thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a good interpretation. But a lot of this now, Sarah, here's the scary thing. I was taken down off of YouTube by AI. That's really clear. But AI on a larger scale is in charge of this system. The Pentagon has contracted with DARPA to develop AI censorship. And so a lot of the censorship that'll take place is done by AI. I also believe too that when we go to martial law, and I'm a believer in predictive programming. There was a show on TV on USA several years ago, about 7, 8 years ago, called Colony. And it has an alien invasion of the Earth, but that's not even the factor where I'm going with this. They had human-based DHS, authoritarian, dictatorial style martial law, and it was enforced by AI. Flying robots, facial recognition. And if you were a dissident they were looking for, oh, you're dead on the spot. And this is ultimately where this is going to go. AI, courtesy of DARPA, not only makes censorship decisions, soon I believe they'll be the ones that carry out the assassinations of the alternative media and key dissidents they want to do away with. We have the technology right now with drones. We know that drones can do this.
Well, I'm going to say a few things. The software is looking for certain words and certain things. They feed it into, so people, this isn't, they don't get mystified by the term AI. Basically, because that's my background, computer systems engineer and all this crap I've done in my life. Okay, so basically what they're doing is they're looking for certain keywords. They're looking through all the little, they can test, hear it in the videos, right? And then that's what they delete. And then they keep making it more sophisticated to learn what terms and what things should be deleted. And they keep feeding that information. So that's all automated. And then the other point that you were saying, as far as the drones being killed, they have the system running in Gaza right now. And Greg Reese, I think Greg Reese is the one that put out a great journalistic piece by Greg Reese on how they're doing the clone system. And Edward Snowden released some of this as well back in the day, but he actually put a whole bunch of detail behind it on what they're doing in Gaza, what qualifies as killing somebody. The drones are killing them based on an automated computer system. And then they have factors like if you're, how many people, how many collateral people can be killed and for satisfactory. So if you're a high range target, somebody you really want to get, they'll kill your whole neighborhood to get you.
That's right.
If you're a low range target, then just maybe a few families, that kind of stuff. And then they use certain weapons are more, they don't want to cost, they want less cost for low range targets, and they'll spend more money for high range targets. But in the end, that's why we're seeing this many casualties in Gaza. They're just indiscriminately killing people. That's why we're seeing this things that don't make sense.
Yeah,
So
I've been told it's the friends and family approach, and you're describing it very well. They don't want anyone who could carry on the work of the highly placed dissident on their kill list. So they'll kill their entire family, they'll kill their friends and acquaintance structure. And it's not just take out their neighborhood, although they've done some of that. For example, if you got a kid in a school who's the son of a major dissident, they'll take out the entire school. And we've seen that in Gaza.
They'll take out the entire school because of the son of the guy,
Yeah, that's right.
which is that's divert that's complete departure. I mean, that's war crimes. They're purposely killing children who are the kids of a high-ranking official.
Yeah.
That's not that's a war crime.
Yeah, Sarah, I want to give this as a warning to the people. If they'll do this in Gaza, and this has been really well established, why do you think they won't do it to you? You've already heard me say your constitutional liberties are gone, and we see ample evidence of that every day. Why do you think they won't bring these same practices here? I did a piece this morning, and it was entitled, I think I wrote the title down right here, so I haven't posted it yet. It's called Replacement Theory Meets Chi-Com Doctrine. And replacement theory is based on the idea that we have negative population growth here in America with regular citizens. The ones coming here have a birth rate of about 5.4 per family. Border Patrol people tell me who've been on the job for 30 years or longer, they tell me that they believe over 100 million illegals have been admitted. And so the replacement theory is natural population. But they want to rush this and move it up. I believe genocide against indigenous peoples coming based on what we're talking about right here. Now, that's replacement theory. First, you've got the people taken out, okay, by natural means, lower birth rate, and so forth. Then you do genocide. Then your replacement group takes over. They don't know about the Constitution, First Amendment, Second Amendment. That's irrelevant to them. So the government doesn't have to worry about them. And then eventually, who will take them out? AI. Now, let's look at what the Chinese have said. In a speech leaked from the CCP Central Planning Committee in 2017, and it was leaked to people like me, John Moore, the late Paul Martin, and other people, and we all attacked it. I wrote a five-part series. And in the speech, Weifang went about 3 pages of transcript praising the United States for helping them against Japan in World War II. But they said, we need their resources, and we're not going to cohabitate, and we're going to take them out. And I'm really cutting to the chase here, leaving out a lot of detail. But they said that they'll probably use race-specific bioweapons. The only indecision they had was what to do with the 14 million people of Chinese descent living in America right now. And he said the sentiment is to get rid of everybody. We're not going to have any survivors. We're going to take over the continent for resources. And people say, well, Dave, how do you know that's even could be policy? Could be just a wild man's lunacy. It could be, but he was the defense minister for many years. And the three defense ministers before him, dating back to 2004, basically said genocide against Americans and occupy America for its resources. So this has been national policy. And this is why I did a piece this morning called, and it's on Rumble. It will be on Rumble later this morning. Replacement Theory Meets Chi-Com Doctrine. The intent, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, is to get rid of you. And the censorship is to keep you from talking about things like this so you can't prepare. And this is what we're talking about here on this show. The
But
censorship
it's
that you need to know that they're coming for you and they don't want you here. And Sarah, do you know why they want America gone? They want America gone
why?
because we have freedom, we have capitalism, and you can't have a new world order based on dictatorial authority if you have an America. And Americans, it's too ingrained in them. That's unconstitutional. It's part of our DNA now. They have to eliminate all Americans. And you know what's funny? The Pelosis and the Schumers and Mitch McConnells and people like that, they're such good little brown shirts. They serve the New World Order. They're going to kill them too. History shows brown shirts don't meet a good fate.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to talk about is how we have all these traitors in our midst. Because I just did a show with Andy Shechtman where we talked about how they're doing this on purpose. They're taking down our country on purpose because the stuff they're doing is so stupid, just obvious stupidity decisions when it comes to monetary policy. And they're doing the same thing all over the place. And so they have to be doing this on purpose. We know that blackmail is alive and well. So we have coercion and blackmail. These people are blackmailed to do this, or they have payment waiting from some golden umbrella they think gonna happen when our country gets taken down and they'll be taken care of. But like you said, the brown shirts are the first ones to go, so they don't have any protection. But let's talk, get on kind of a whole note that isn't so dire. What can people do? Because it's exhausting being in our positions. It's exhausting to keep hearing this from people like us as well. The average American person is just overwhelmed by hearing this. So what can we do that is reasonable so it's not just all hope is lost?
I'm part of a group and I'm limited to what I can say. And some of these limits, I talked to this group last night, or the leader of this group last night, and I've known him for 15 years. And I said, the people are ready to hear the truth about the non-internet internet that's coming. They're going to take down the internet to keep us from doing what we're doing here, or they'll deny people like us DNS access at all. You won't be able to create a second and third account on YouTube. You won't even be able to get on the internet at all. You won't be able to conduct banking or anything else once you're declared to be a domestic terrorist. And that's why they're setting up the laws the way they are. So I called this guy last night and I said, inside of 24 hours, I've got a Trump official that went through a booking agent to get to me to be on the show. And this is the topic. And I am on an Australian network tonight that's rather large. And this is the topic. And you and I have had this discussion here, and I'm on John B. Wells' show Saturday night on his Intel Report, and that averages 6 million listeners. It's going to be huge. And this is the topic. And John's wife, who's his booking agent now, contacted me to come on. They wanted me on during the week, but we couldn't connect soon enough to make it happen. The word is out on this stuff. Let me tell you what I can tell you. There's a non-internet internet that makes the DNS irrelevant, and you have your own DNS. And there are very powerful corporate types involved that I cannot mention who they are at all. And I don't know, and they don't know yet if they're ever going to be able to mention them, or will these corporate types work under proxy companies? And part of this is a rebellion against BlackRock's ESG. If you don't toe the line in extreme culturalism, like cutting kids' genitals off, the transgender having male athletes beat the shit out of female athletes and endanger their lives, if you're not on board with that kind of insanity, then BlackRock will, because they're the biggest asset manager in the country, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard together, it's a partnership. They control 90% of all asset management in the United States. So they can deny these companies loans, future business opportunities. So this is why you see Target, Bud Light, and Disney willing to go broke for their nonsense woke policies. And you're saying, why would they do this to themselves because of BlackRock's ESG? Well, some of the companies that are coming to this endeavor are sick of that control. That means there's unrest within the corporate oligarchy trying to run this country. And this is really good news. And let's put it this way, these corporations are going to each be involved in different aspects of this venture. This is huge. Now, I'm not saying anything here I can't say. I just can't tell you who they are. And the people that have put this deal together, they had experience in putting together Zoom. They put crypto organization in foreign countries. These guys are no joke. Their technology expertise is off the charts. They chose me for, well, but the reason they said is you're in touch with the people, but you also have intelligence contacts, and you're a guy we need to help supervise bringing this in. I was really kind of shocked that they came to me, and I'm giving this information the night after I had this conversation with the executive leader, and he said, well, here's what you can say, and here's what you can't say. And that's kind of where we're at. So there's going to be, you asked me what a solution is. There's going to be an avenue here for people to communicate and prepare. The American Revolution was in taverns and in churches. And that's exactly what they took away in COVID. This was the beta test in COVID. Let's let the strip clubs and the casinos be open, but let's close down
And the
the
liquor
churches
stores.
and the schools and so forth. This is what they did there. So, Sarah, to kind of bring this to a full conclusion, this is where the preparation for the fight back will occur. And I got to tell you, I'm getting people coming out of the woodwork who work in government structures. And I always tell them, don't give me classified, give me open source I might not find on my own, because I don't want the knock down my door kind of thing. But I have an abnormally high number of people right now approaching me with this kind of information, and there's pushback. This is not a unanimous movement. And within the movement, there's dissension. And we need to promote the dissension and get them to fight amongst themselves. The reality is this. I don't promote civil war. I'm hoping the divine hand of God intervenes and stops this in a supernatural way. But unless God intervenes, I don't see how we don't have a civil war. Now, if we have no way to communicate with each other, we'll have just tyranny and genocide, and there will be very little resistance. But if we have organized communication networks, we can begin to organize to fight back and become the Viet Cong of our day. And this is ultimately where this is headed. I don't want to see violence, but the other side, I think, is pushing the envelope where they're going to force it.
Well, the other side is diminishing and getting smaller and smaller. And I've always said that we need the assets inside these companies to do the right thing at the right time and to be our spies inside and to be the cog that screws things up. And we need, when they're going to take like the great taking, how they're going to take the billionaires are going to go down too. You all need to get in on this. The executives need to wake up and realize your family and your future is going to be destroyed too. So you need to wake up and be part of the solution. And I'm hearing that that's what you're seeing reach out to you. And I've said this for years that that's what we need. And I think they're not stupid. They're smart and they're waking up and seeing, oh my God. And we need to create a powerful group of people that know what's going on, people from the inside, inside of banking, inside of military, inside of high tech, big tech. You guys are the solution to turn this around because you're inside those organizations. You can make a stop to this. And I think that's what we're seeing. It's hard because BlackRock and these guys are formidable, powers. I even think people in BlackRock can start turning this crap around. The people have more power if they did had some courage. Right?
Yeah, did you
Because there
see
isn't
that?
that many of them.
Did you
Go
notice
ahead.
that a State Department official quit the State Department over a week ago because of Gaza? I
Yeah, and
mean,
I saw
this was
the
public.
top UN official did it too.
Yeah,
Yes.
this is what we know about, Sarah. Can you imagine how many people are walking away that we don't know about?
Well, that's right. Well, did you see the latest report? This is I published it last, it was a week ago from today, where the UN called, for all weapons. Well, they called again for Israel to be, which I don't trust the UN necessarily, but they did this, which is an interesting development, that Israel needs to be investigated for war crimes, which they've already said, but they did again. But now they called for all countries to stop giving weapons to Israel, and they went further and said that countries that are aiding and abetting Israel with weapons and money need to also be investigated for war crimes. That means the United States needs to be investigated for war crimes according to the UN. And I think it was 36 countries that voted and 26 voted yes, a couple some abstained, and of course the United States voted against it, but and so did Germany. But I think there was only six countries that voted against it. Otherwise, the rest of the world who are part of the UN voted for this. That's interesting. What does that mean? Because I don't trust the UN either.
I wonder what it's going to mean legally to the U.S. when we're declared to be a war criminal by association. That's a really good point
That's
you
what I
bring up.
mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a really, I saw the U.N. declaration against Israel to be investigated for war crimes. If the U.S. is dragged into this, wow.
That's their latest thing. That's so I just published it with quotes from the
Yeah.
UN. That so what does that mean? What is the world geopolitical play on this?
I'll tell you the first thing that comes to my mind, though, is the Kigali Principles. Kigali Principles were a treaty or agreement that Obama and John Kerry entered into in the lame duck presidency period after the election in 2016 and before Trump took office. And what it basically says is if the leader of a nation feels there is a threat to the national security or the health and welfare of the people, they can call in the UN. And the 28 member nations of the Kigali Principles at that time will lend humanitarian and/or military assistance. And I'm wondering too if they'll declare the U.S. government to be a war criminal and place this under Kigali Principle military control. I
Well,
do
and that's
expect
what
this.
Kissinger.
Okay, if the World Health Organization invokes all these martial law decrees I just talked about, if that happens, Sarah, I would expect the Kigali Principles to be enacted. It'll be foreign troop enforced.
It would be absolutely horrific. That's what happened in Canada when they were going after the Canadian truckers. It was documented. They didn't know who these troops were. They didn't look like Canadians. People didn't think they were UN. They weren't identified. And so people are like, these aren't
Oh my
Canadian
God.
soldiers.
I just had an epiphany. This is what they did in Lahaina. There were videos that were filmed by Eric West, and there were cars that were burned out individually, directed energy weapons. The parts of the cars that would be melted were way above a natural fire. So we knew it was directed energy weapons, and the surrounding area was not affected. In fact, two cars that Eric filmed, and I put it on YouTube at the time. Surprised he didn't take me off then. But Eric showed these cars, and in the background, very close, within 30, 40 yards, were homes that were untouched. And wow.
That's probably, I mean, that's what we're, Kissinger said there's going to be a
Oh my
point where
God.
people are going to
Okay.
beg for the UN to come in and help
Yeah.
us, and then we can use that to create our new world order.
Yeah, let me
That was
finish.
his
Let me
quote.
finish the
Go
Mark West
ahead.
story. Mark West was surveying two cars on the side of the road as well that looked like they were directed energy weapon victims. And then these police came by, and they did not have the regular markings. They weren't part of Maui County government. They weren't part of the Lahaina police. They weren't part of any of that. They were just unmarked. And Eric West even questioned him, "Who are you with? We don't have to tell you that. It's just you need to get out of here right now. This is an unoccupied area." And I bet that was UN. I bet that was Kigali principles. This just occurred to me. But these were not police from Hawaii. These were foreigners.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, that's what we saw in Canada. So I get worried because we are aiding and abetting a war crime, right? We are doing this. And so the UN stepping up to it makes sense to a thinking normal person. The problem is I don't trust the UN because we know there's a broader agenda, and they could be behind all these war crimes in the first place.
Well,
So it's
the UN's behind smart cities, which are no more than open air concentration camps. I mean, if you go into a smart city, I've read the regulations in the C40 cities that have agreed to this, over 90 of them, and the American cities, no meat, no dairy, no travel, no cars, no guns, childbearing limits, assigned jobs or assigned duties. It's total dictatorship. And this is the smart cities, and the UN is ultimately behind this.
I know that's what scares me. It's like the UN is behind all this new world order crap. The World Health Organization, the UN, are completely in lockstep. And they're right on this issue, though. And so they use our mental constructs against us. We agree with this, and we want you to stop this genocide. Who else is going to stop the genocide? United States, we can't, for some reason, can't convince them to stop sending weapons. Even though the majority of the people, besides maybe some duped Christians right now, because it doesn't, I could go on and on about how this is not supported by Christianity and from any practical standpoint. So, beyond the duped ones, almost everyone agrees that these are warrant. We're watching a genocide being live streamed. So, now they're going to use our own mental constructs against us to do what? And that's what worries me. But you know what, Dave? This has been a wonderful conversation, and I know that you have another commitment, and we both have another commitment we got to get to. So I want to make sure before we depart this, what can people do? What can people do? Give them a last bit of hope because this can be pretty scary. And I know you've talked about the
I will be
solution with the
doing,
internet.
I'll be
Go
doing
ahead.
public appearances about the new communication system, and we'll make it available. We'll tell people how to sign up and become part of this, because soon your right to participate will be gone. And unless you're an alternative communication system, you'll never know about this. So I'll make sure that's available. People also need to prepare. You need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And I'll tell you this right now, things that are unconstitutional, this administration says, don't obey them. When they start to announce there's going to be a draft, don't obey the draft. Okay? Disobey everything that's unconstitutional. The war in Ukraine is unconstitutional, therefore does not merit a draft. We have no treaty organization. So anyway, what I'm saying is the preparation is pretty much along the lines of what I'm saying. And of course, that list will be modified and added to as we go on. We are in a fight for our lives, and people just don't realize your longevity, your life is at stake. It's not just your standard of living, it's your life that's at stake. And these people have shown that they will take your life. Look at Gaza. Look at Gaza. That's going to be America unless we stop it.
So where can they follow you?
TheCommonSenseShow.com. I'm on Rumble, The Common Sense Show, no spaces. And of course, we have TheCommonSenseShow.tv. And soon we'll have this new venture with a name not yet determined.
Thank you so much, Dave.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.